I welcome you this morning on Father's Day, June 21st, 2020. So our scripture this week is from Genesis 21, verses 8 through 20. We read, "The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that her son, whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham, was mocking. And she said to Abraham, 'Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance of my son Isaac.' Well, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, 'Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring.' And early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. And when the water and the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. And then she went off and sat down a bow shot away. For she thought, 'I cannot watch the boy die.' And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies here. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation.' Well, then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew, and he lived in the desert and became an archer. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." As this is Father's Day, and being a father myself, it's hard to imagine what it must have been like for Abraham to finally have a child by his wife Sarah. Especially as we're told in Genesis 17:17, that Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. It was a miracle. But Abraham named his son Isaac. And as was the custom of the day, when Isaac was about 3 years old, he was weaned, and a celebration ensued. When in the midst of the celebration, something unsettling took place. Sarah saw her son Isaac playing with Ishmael, who would have been in his teens. For our scripture in verse 9 calls it mocking, which probably means he was imitating or mimicking him, as the brothers do, you know. Well, keep in mind, Ishmael was also Abraham's son. His mother was the slave woman Hagar, and Abraham had taken God's promise seriously that he would father a great nation. But when God was slow to act, Abraham decided to take matters into his own hands and have a son with this slave at 86 years old. We find that in Genesis 16:16. Well, Hagar and Sarah, they didn't get along. There was a deep resentment and bitterness on Sarah's part, for Sarah saw Ishmael playing with her son Isaac. She was filled with jealousy and anger, and she wanted Abraham to get rid of this woman and her son. Well, you would have thought that Sarah would have been grateful for having a son in her old age. Instead, she was so eaten up by jealousy that she wanted Hagar and Ishmael out of her life forever. She needed a different way of seeing. Well, sometimes life is unfair, but because of God's love, we are able to overcome it when he provides a different way of seeing. Our message today I've titled, "A Different Way of Seeing." So there was this bitter rivalry between Sarah and Hagar. Well, Abraham, he was either unable or unwilling to intervene to solve a problem. But in the midst of the celebration, these negative feelings erupted in Sarah as she watched her son playing with Ishmael. The boys were just playing together. Ishmael was not mean to Isaac or in any way abusive to him. They were simply playing together in the midst of a celebration. When Sarah called to Abraham and cast out this slave woman with her son, "For the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." Well, Sarah wanted action, and she wanted it now. How sad for Sarah, for Hagar, and especially for Ishmael. He would be cut off from his father, and he would no longer know his father's love. And unfortunately, Ishmael's problem, it's not rare. There are many persons whose fathers have not been a positive role model. There are people who have lived their whole lives without feeling the special love between a father and a child. But the liberating good news of the gospel is that with the love of God, we are able to transcend the negative life experience some of us have had. And with the love of God, we can be whole persons again. So just for a moment, I'd like you to remember your childhood suspicions that both your father and your mother, maybe even your teacher, had eyes in the back of their heads. But as you got older, you realized it wasn't literally true, but it was a way of describing their awareness of what you were doing. Their familiarity of you. It helped them perceive what you were going to do or need. Well, just as God saw the needs of all in this story. And I think in the mindset of our scriptures, we need to ask these questions. So how did Abraham need to see differently? How did Sarah need to see differently? How did Hagar need to see differently? And especially, how do you need to see differently? Well, there's been some interesting developments in the field of perception, spurred in part by research to help the blind, but also by the need to help people who have so much to see that their eyes cannot take it all in. Aircraft pilots, for example. As aviation technology has evolved, cockpits have filled up with many new instruments to the point that in some flight applications, pilots have so much to keep track of that they are virtually overwhelmed. And this visual workload has gotten so high that there has been an increase in the number of human factor-related mishaps. Well, one way to solve that problem, however, is to feed some of that information to your brain through paths other than your eyes. As far as the anatomy is concerned, the eyes are merely input devices that feed data to the brain. But there are other ways that your brain perceives information as well. Well, you know that cookie you ate the other day? It tasted good? Not because your eyes passed that news along, but because your tongue did. So what I want to talk about is a different way of seeing. There's a well-known verse in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where Paul writes, "We walk by faith and not by sight," in the New King James Version, or "We live by faith, not by sight," in the NIV. Well, faith is a different way, but a valid way of seeing the world and life. And we're in desperate need of that today. In Hebrews 11, a passage commonly referred to as the faith chapter, but as I read it today, it often strikes me that it's really about seeing something that not everyone sees. In the first verse of Hebrews 11, the author says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Well, he then points out Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, and others as examples of people of faith. Of them, the Hebrew writer says, all of these died without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them, in Hebrews 11:13. In faith, we too believe that God is real, even though we cannot see him. We believe that God rewards those who seek, even when that reward is not apparent at present. In other words, faith is not some mustered-up belief or desperately held position. It's a way of seeing. When we apply the Christian faith to the world we live in, we could say that faith does not change the facts about the world, but it does change the conclusions we draw about those facts. For example, so two friends meet in passing one day, and then the first notices that the other man looks quite despondent. So he asks, "How come you look like the whole world has caved in on you?" Well, the sad fellow says, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, an uncle died and he left me $10,000. "Well, I'm sorry to hear about your uncle passing, but that's a bit of good news for you, isn't it?" "Well, hold on, it gets better," says the glum guy. "Well, 2 weeks ago, a great aunt I never knew passed away and left me $20,000 free and clear." "Well, you can't be disappointed about that." "Well, no, I'm not. But listen, last week my grandfather went to the rest, and I inherited almost $100,000. "Well, that's incredible." Why do you look so sad?" Well, the depressed man, he shakes his head and says, "Well, this week, nothing." We laugh at this, but let's make it real. Two people can look at the same facts and arrive at opposite conclusions. If two people visit a hospital that treats those with serious crippling injuries, they will both see patients with missing limbs or patients in great pain and patients suffering other ways. One might look at all of this and conclude that the world is a mess and life is a nasty joke. He might even decide not to allow himself to care too much for anyone because of the possibility of pain when a loved one suffers. Well, the other person, they might see it all as this incredible courage and resilience of the sufferers and decide that the illnesses are an outrage precisely because God's gifts of life is so good. Well, in our reading from Genesis, Hagar is a wrong woman. She has borne Abraham a son. And Hagar was the maid of Sarah and Abraham's wife. But because Sarah was childless, she had encouraged Abraham to produce an heir with Hagar. Yet once her own son was born, Sarah became jealous of Hagar and demanded that her husband send Hagar and her son Ishmael away. Well, Abraham does this by faith after God provided a different way of seeing. So Hagar and Ishmael, they were sent away into the desert, where they were soon lost and out of water. Eventually, Ishmael was at a point of dying of thirst, though Hagar put him down under a bush, turned away and began to weep. And God heard her, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled her bottle and gave the boy to drink. Well, God didn't perform a miracle for Hagar in the usual sense of the word. He did not create new resources that were not already there on the scene. Rather, he opened her eyes so that she saw the well that she had not seen before. So when that happened, the same environment that had looked so hopeless and barren to her was now seen as a life-sustaining place. God did not change the facts. The well had been there all along, and the place had never been God-forsaken, as she thought. But until God opened her eyes, Hagar missed all of that. He opened her mind, too, a different way of seeing. So during this pandemic, we have been conducting parking lot services, and it has been attended by many of you who are with us today. And the weekly messages have been either read or listened to by more people than we normally serve, and hopefully we have provided a different way of seeing for them. And I am impressed that many of you did not stop attending and continued to tithe And many who didn't come continue to tithe also. And a cynic might look at those facts and say, well, they don't want to offend God and cause him to withhold his blessings. But I look at the same facts and concluded, look at their remarkable faith. They know that whether it's safe to attend or not, God is with them. And I am able to say that because faith shapes how I see things. Here's a story I found that helps us understand as believers how we are to see things. A young salesman was disappointed about losing a big sale. And as he talked with his sales manager, he complained, well, I guess it just proves you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, the manager replied, your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. So it is with evangelism. Our life should be so filled with the passion of Christ that we create a thirst in others for the gospel of Jesus Christ. A different way of seeing. So to repeat, faith in Christ is a different way of seeing the world and life. And that above all is why I remain a Christian. For Christianity helps me to interpret life with a sense that is good and that despite the pain and hurt of our world, it will come out right in the end. For Christian faith is a way of seeing the world through more than just our eyes. Or to say it differently, it is like having eyes in the back of our mind, in the front of our hearts, in the depths of our spirits, in the palms of our hands, and in the soles of our feet. It's a way of seeing God in the world. I think of my grandfather who used to take me fishing or trolling kind of on Beaver Lake when I had an opportunity to spend nights with him at his cottage. And I thought it was because he just needed somebody to row at the time. But he helped me to see life in a different way. Because while we trolled on around the lake, I would now and then get a chance to ask him questions. And I remember once asking him, Grandpa, can anyone see God? And he answered, well, sometimes I think I never see anything else. Now, we seldom caught many fish, but it was his opportunity to teach me a different way of seeing. So as the author of Hebrews says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. So do you see through the eyes of faith as Abraham did? Or do you now see differently as Hagar did? And are you in need of a different way of seeing like Sarah? I want you to always remember that sometimes life is unfair, but because of God's love, we are able to overcome, for he provides a different way of seeing in his service. This is Pastor Joe, and happy Father's Day.